The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
You want the good news, you want the bad news?
I don't like either one of those options.
Your words are super wise, man.
You are a prophet. You deserve a prophet.
You do whatever you want. Who am I to tell you what to do?
But you're a psychologist.
Well, I know less than you do.
You're making me a better parent and a better wife, and thank God you're on the radio.
What planet are you on? I don't buy any of that stuff.
You know, I was looking for a deeper answer.
What are you talking about?
You make my afternoon really fun. Enjoy you.
You're about the most exciting thing I have right now.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
See, as all the research is coming in that lockdowns don't work, that little guy that was on the phone there, that last bumper bit, if I'm the most exciting thing he's had or has right now, ooh, that's a commentary on lockdowns. Good to have you with me. I'm Dr. Ray Guarini, back in the studios here in Canton, Ohio, Living Bread, home of Mother Angelica, St. Anthony Parish, where I attended probably till I was about 30. All Italians went to St. Anthony's. That was the law. So we're doing the program, as we have for quite some time now, out of the studios of Living Bread here in Canton, Ohio. The number, if you would like to join us, 877-573-7825. Can't remember all those numbers. 877-57-EQUAL. That's what you do to get onto the phone. Very, very simple. Minimal effort. Not like the scratching, clawing, scraping, groveling I had to do to get a radio show. Program, it shows TV, right? If you have a question about something in your life that matters a lot to you, or something that doesn't matter but you think should, be it another person, which is most of the time what the calls are about, making a decision, struggling, obviously we can just put our two heads together, and together, if this involves a child, we're probably smarter than that five-year-old. I mean, after all, there's two of us. Maybe not one of us would be smarter than the five-year-old, but there's two of us. See, we can come up with, if it's a discipline problem. If it's a faith problem, question about your faith as it intersects with psychology, for example. That's my most recent book, Jesus the Master Psychologist. Listen to Him. Yeah, we struggled for a while on the subtitle, and we came up with that one. And I like that one, Listen to Him. It's available either at the EWTN catalog or my website or probably most of the bookstores around, I would think. Definitely the Catholic ones. Maybe even the Christian ones. 877-57-EQUAL. That's the number if you would like to partake in our get-together. Oh, another item of business. I'm going to start probably making it a little more consistent. Season number 10 of Living Right with Dr. Ray was taped during the COVID responses. As a result, we had to get somewhat creative because we couldn't have a live audience. You're not going to have people on TV in your audience in masks. That just doesn't convey the image you want. So we produced a number of programs, which will be airing soon, I believe. If not already started, without audiences, a couple of shows we had virtual audiences. We actually had people on monitors from home. But now we're able to go back to real live people. And our first jaunt is going to take us to Omaha, Nebraska. KVSS. 15 stations I just found out recently. The blanket, Nebraska. That would be June 29th and 30th, I think it is. It's a Tuesday and a Wednesday, a couple weeks from now. Tuesday and a Wednesday. If you go to spiritcatholicradio.com, and then they put my face up there. It's photoshopped. Come on, they took 37 years off it. We'd love to have you in the audience. The audience is an integral part of the program. Truly, truly. You make things happen. You ask questions. We include you in our audience opening bits. It's just a lot of fun. And I think we provide snacks, too. We'd love to have you. The bigger the audience, the better. So we'll be in Omaha probably in about 2 weeks. So I look forward to coming to KBSS all the time. It's a great, great station. Okie doke. Here's the question. I hesitate to use the superlative adjective in this question because it's such a fluffy, fluffy word. And unfortunately, this word has crept its way into Christian virtue. But here's the question. You'll recognize the word. Who are you nicest to? Now, you know the word nicest. Okay. But let's define that as charitable, pleasant, understanding, tolerant. Maybe on your best behavior might be the way to put it. Who? If you're married, would your spouse say that it's you? Or would your spouse say, I can name about 34 other people in my spouse's life that my spouse treats better than he or she treats me? Would they say that? Dr. Ray, wait a minute. That's just not fair because first of all, you know, that doesn't mean I'm getting treated nice by my spouse. I mean, who am I nicest to? Well, maybe I'm nicest to the people that are nice to me and my spouse isn't nice to me. Well, let's lay that one aside for the moment and basically focus on the spouse that is pretty good. You know, it's a good marriage, solid, but it's kind of, settled into a humdrum sort of existence. We live under the same roof and we raise the same kids. And yeah, we like each other for the most part, but we're not on our best behavior with each other. I mean, that's the way it is in marriage, isn't it? Well, no, it doesn't have to be that way. Your ultimate goal, I think, would be that your spouse says, my husband, my wife, treats me better than anybody else that I know about. Wouldn't that be the ultimate compliment? Wouldn't you want your spouse to say that? You wouldn't want to hear from somebody at work how wonderful your spouse is. He's just great at work. She's wonderful at work. And you're thinking to yourself, what person are they describing? I'd like to see about 20% of that. You don't want to have your spouse think that about you. But Dr. A, sometimes, you know, you live with somebody, it's a lot harder to be civil and pleasant and tolerable. That it is. And by the way, Dr. Ray, Mr. Smarty Pants Know-It-All, even if I did that, they wouldn't notice. In their mind, I'm just not nice no matter what. No matter how many times I apologize, no matter how much manners I use, no matter how much I try to serve, they don't even appreciate it. In the long run, though, you got to be pretty oblivious not to notice when somebody is trying to treat you decently. Isn't that true? I'm not talking about a spouse that's pathological. I'm not talking about a spouse that's alcohol-ridden. I'm not talking about a spouse that is so extremely self-centered that they have no idea that there's somebody else in the marriage other than them. I'm talking about 80% of marriages that, by and large, are reasonably okay and solid, definitely among this audience. You're listening to Catholic radio. I'm going to assume you have a pretty good, pretty high view of marriage. So as a result, it wouldn't be that much of a stretch to rise up to the point where your spouse says, my spouse is pleasant and civil to other people. My spouse is is kind and easygoing with other people. But if you're talking deep treatment, good, solid, loving treatment, my spouse treats me better than he or she treats anybody else. That's really, I think, what you'd want to shoot for, isn't it? 877-573-7825. 877-57-EQUAL. I would love to hear from you. Otherwise, I'll just have to keep talking, which I don't mind because I can do. But I'd like to give you your chance.
Solidarity HealthShare began out of the Christian tradition of neighbor helping neighbor. They're a nonprofit medical cost-sharing ministry in which their members share in each other's eligible medical expenses. Solidarity HealthShare is not insurance, but rather an alternative way to pay for medical costs that adheres to the teachings of the Catholic Church. They'll never share in a medical care that goes against their values and morals, such as abortion, contraception, and sterilization. More information available at SolidarityHealthShare.org or at 844-313-4999.
The church has a very high view of conscience. I think it was St. John Henry Newman who called conscience the aboriginal vicar of Christ. Catechism reads this way on conscience: the interior voice of a human being within whose heart the inner law of God is inscribed. Moral conscience is a judgment of practical reason about the moral quality of a human action. It moves a person at the appropriate moment to do good and to avoid evil. It offers some suggestions, the Ten Commandments, the moral teachings of Jesus in the Gospels, the moral teachings of St. Paul. All of these things are used as a measure of how well we're doing. It is then up to the Catholic to take a look at the teaching of the Church and to see if, in fact, they are in proper communion. The idea that you can dispense with the objective moral teachings of the Church in favor of personalized conscience is lawless and anarchic.
Cresta in the Afternoon with Al Cresta. 4 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
We need EWTN Radio for the reason that Mother Angelica founded this entire enterprise. She always saw this as a spiritual growth network. It was to be an enterprise in media that reached people in all aspects of their life. She saw this as a holistic approach to reaching the whole person in the middle of the world and bringing them truth and life.
Raymond Arroyo thinks Catholic radio is important. So should you.
Yeah, summertime parade music right there. Hear the big tuba. Tuba guy was always one of the coolest dudes in the band. I'm Dr. Ray. Thanks for joining me here. The doctor is in. The number to get onto the program, 877-573-7825. 877-57-EQUAL. If you have something you'd like to ask about, talk about, help someone else about. You know, it's interesting because we have a standard rule on the program that if you're on the line at the end of the program, you're first up in any future program, no matter what, no matter how far out into the future. You call in because you waited. You were there at the end. And it's interesting. I don't have exact figures. I can only speculate from a general sense. I would say probably less than, definitely less than 10%, maybe even less than 5%, people will call back and say, I was on the line at the end of the program. I'm cashing in my chips. I would like to bring up the topic that I wanted to bring up then, but Dr. A was so absolutely rude that he didn't take my call. 877-573-7825. Every so often, want to mix in. And we got some calls I want to get to. I don't want to ignore this, but I, well, it's okay. I was going to do this, But I will not. I will head to the phones here, but I want to find out exactly what the situation is on some of those calls. So Eric is putting up how he sees the caller asking or commenting. 877-573-7825, 877-57-EQUAL. That's the number to call to get onto the program. Just one little inside baseball kind of thing. My daughters and her family are being duty stationed to Germany for 3 years. They have two little ones, a five-year-old and a year and a half. My other son and his wife have two little ones, age 3 and 7 months. Now, they've been at the house for a week and a half. And my other daughter and her husband with the 5 and the 1.5-year-old are now at the house. And they're going to be at the house. So that's 4 kids, 5 and under, living with us. Bringing back memories of the days when we started out our parenting with 6 kids under 6. Difference is, I had 27 times the amount of energy then than I have now. And I could stay up past 9 o'clock. I could. And I didn't have to have my bunny slippers on by 8:30. Nope. So we'll just see how my wife and I can hold up through all this. But it certainly is a treat. Aurora from California. But I think we should have told her that Aurora is in Denver. It's a sub, or in Colorado. It's a suburb of Denver. Hi, Aurora.
Hi, Dr. A.
Thanks for calling.
You're welcome. I have to agree with you how hard it is to speak nicely to people that are used to having you around and take you for granted. Unfortunately, I have had that experience. I have been divorced for many years, so it's not with a spouse. It's just family members. And I have found in my years of experience that unfortunately, it's a lot harder to be kind to the people that you love the most than a perfect stranger. It's easy, a perfect stranger, to be kind and the best of you.
Aurora, do you have your window down in your car, dear?
No, I don't, but I have air conditioner on.
Oh, okay. We're just getting a lot of... Here's what we're getting. That's
sorry.
Better. Oh, I can hear you.
I'm parking now.
I can hear you now. Why do you think that is? Why do you think that the people you love the most are the hardest for you to be most pleasant to?
Because they love me unconditionally.
Ah, so you're not worried about them writing you off.
I am worried because I want to be a better person, but they don't necessarily worry about me, about how they feel about me, so that the table is turned. But I have continued to make a sacrifice and pray a lot about it and try to bite my tongue, pause, ponder, and pray, and it is getting better. It's gone a lot better. I would say 80% better. And a lot of it is because I'm trying harder than what I really should, because I'm the doer. I'm the one that provides a lot of the work that's done within our family. But it's working. So I just want to advise everybody to not give up. Just like God tells us, don't give up. He is listening to our prayers. And we do have to make a conscious effort to be kind no matter what is said. Just stop and think about what you're going to say and then say it.
Aurora, were you surprised? Did you expect that the other person would respond well to you being better? Or did you think, no, they'll just take advantage of me?
No, I didn't think that. I just saw how they were responding. But I just didn't want to give up because I'm the oldest. Our mother has Alzheimer's, so I kind of took the role of the mother, or I personally took it, you know, so they don't really appreciate that. But now that I've taken the bull by the horns and I've taken my mom home to my house so that I wouldn't have to deal with everything because they didn't have to deal with me.
Aurora,
they're coming around.
Well, let me throw a curveball at you. Okay?
Okay.
When you decided to be kinder, gentler, whatever, no matter how they responded, correct? You just said this is what I want to do. Because this is how I think the Lord would want me to act, independent of them. Right? You didn't have to have them treat you back nice. You were gonna do it anyway. Anyway.
Yes.
Is it possible? Okay. Now here's where it gets tricky. You'll have to forgive me for my implication. But is it possible that in trying to be nicer, if you want to use that word, you got rid of some of your own nastiness? In other words,
yes.
it isn't just that you became a nicer person, but you eliminated some of that about you that wasn't nice. Is that possible?
It's possible, because we don't ever see how we react. But I know that I was doing a lot for them. And I was trying to do, but yes, it's very, very possible. So that is why I thought it was so important that I make the extra effort and see what would happen.
Well, good for you. That is good stuff. Keep it up. It'll only get better. And even if they don't treat you nice in return, you can be at peace knowing that you're doing the right thing, which is really tough to do sometimes with people close to you. Bless you, Aurora. Thank you so much. All righty, dear.
You're welcome.
Sharon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You're right, honey. Sharon from California. Now, wait a minute. Sharon, in California, I understand anybody can dress any way they want. Isn't that the truth?
Well, it is, but there are definitely ways of dressing, I think, that are more appropriate, I guess, for male versus female.
Well, I agree with you, but does does the environment around you think that?
No, they don't.
Okay. So are your nephews listening to you or their parents, or are they listening to the environment?
They're listening to the environment. Mm-hmm. And apparently I've just learned that they go to therapy. It's kind of scary.
Well, I don't know why they would go to therapy, but very commonly when they're doing that, it's because they're not getting along with their parents. There's a lot of friction there between kids and parents. Do you see that?
Well, I know that their parents had a lot of friction amongst themselves, and I think that's why they're in therapy now.
Why do you think that they would listen to you if you tried to tell them, consider how you're dressing here?
They wouldn't. That's why I'm asking how. Is there a good way to say it?
Oh, so if they wouldn't listen to you, you want me to come up with something savvy where they would
Please.
Go, Aunt Sharon, thank you so much. That makes such total sense.
Yes, I would.
Well, are their parents allowing them?
Yeah, they don't have any. Yeah, they just don't say anything.
They're good kids. That's what you're going to say, isn't it? They're good kids.
They're good kids. It's just that I don't want to go them going down this path. I mean, I see so many people nowadays falling down to a misguided path.
You stay right there. I'm going to give you good news and bad news. Don't leave me, Sharon. 877-573-7825, 877-57-EQUAL. I'm Dr. Ray Garendi. Program here, Doctor is In, co-production. EWTN, Global Catholic Radio, Ave Maria Radio.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
Now, when Jesus was on earth, he taught us a great lesson. He taught us that he came for the sinner, not the virtuous. He came for you because you are imperfect, because sin comes easy to you, and sometimes you don't have the willpower to say no. But you see, if you understood the awesomeness of God and all his power and all his wonder, and he comes down to our level. He wanted to feel. How do you feel? I don't know anybody that loves anyone that much. And this imperfect being that's you and me and all of us, he did it for us. That's why you should never despair, because you're imperfect.
For more information on Mother Angelica, visit Religious Catalog at EWTNRC.com.
How do the three theological virtues, faith, hope, and charity, fit into our prayer? The Catholic Catechism says we enter into prayer as we enter into liturgy through the narrow gate of faith. We seek and desire the face of the Lord. It is his word we wish to hear and keep. The Holy Spirit instructs us to celebrate the liturgy in expectation of Jesus' return and teaches us to pray in hope. Hope is nourished in us by the prayer of the Church and personal prayer. The Psalms, especially through their concrete and varied language, teach us to fix our hope in God. Love is poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Prayer formed by the liturgical life draws everything into Christ's love for us, which enables us to respond to him by loving as he loved us. Love is the source of prayer. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism. May the good Lord bless you.
Joining me, Dr. Ray Garendi. I'm talking to Sharon. Sharon is a concerned aunt calling from the state of California. She says she has nephews and their address is inappropriate. Now, that can run the gamut from torn, slovenly-looking stuff to nasty T-shirts that proclaim all kinds of ugly, almost quote-unquote satanic-type messages. Sharon, which is it?
It's not that drastic. It's sort of a subtle feminine look, which I've never seen these two to be feminine whatsoever, and it's shocking. Not shocking, but it's like, why are you wearing a pink, purple. It's not that. It's just kind of subtle. But
would they look at
almost,
you? If you said something, would they look at you with an attitude of, what are you talking about?
Probably.
Okay.
Because it is subtle, but I want to have an influence on them, and they're not practicing any of their faith, and they're just
approaching it from the clothes, because their attitude's going to be, what's your point? First of all, these are stylish. First of all, this is what kids our age wear. Mom, come on, Annie, we're not dressing like you. Get the bonnet off. So you're probably better off coming from the perspective of, hey guys, have you ever, thought about this whole God question? Rather than the clothes. Forget it. If they're not being raised with any religion or any kind of ideas towards modesty or appropriateness or any of that, whatever you say is just going to be, it's going to be a foreign language.
Right.
So I would, if you're going to be with them or strike up conversations with them, I'd approach it from the perspective of, What do you guys think of people that are Catholic? What do you think of me that I believe this stuff? What do you think? I just kind of want to hear what you think. That's the direction to come at them from. The clothes, forget it. You just slam into a brick wall.
Well, they'll think I'm a fanatic.
Oh, yeah, of course, I know they think that. Yeah, and you can ask them that. You can say, why do you think I'm a fanatic? What is it that makes me a fanatic? Well, you're not really a fanatic, you know, Aunt Sharon. You're okay, but you just have your beliefs, you know, and we just don't buy it. Okay, guys, why don't you buy it? What is it that you think is ridiculous? Tell me. Mm-hmm. You're just exploring with them. That's all. You're getting them to actually talk about something they don't talk about ever.
Mm-hmm.
All right? I think that's your role, my dear.
Okay.
Forget the clothes thing. Forget that. By the way, if you ever saw the way I dressed, you'd say, Ray, wait a minute. That tie does not go with those polka-dotted pants. And Dickies went out a long time ago, Ray, underneath the shirt. Don't do that. And
right.
Paisley silk shirts are gone, Raymond. Thank you, Sharon. Bless you, dear. Thanks for the call.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right.
Bye.
Let's go to Alex from NC, North Carolina. Hi, Alex.
How are you?
Okay, doing okay. Doing okay. More than okay. Above okay. What's up?
So, my situation, right now I'm going through a season of my life where I'm absolutely blessed. Things are fantastic in so many ways. However, I've got one area in my life, which is the relationship association, rather. We're not together, with my daughter's mother. She has some resentments, but we're not at each other's throats. So there's not a whole lot of anger or anything like that. But if I try to communicate with her or to see my daughter or talk to her, most of the time my calls aren't answered. It just seems like there's no concern for the association that we have. And I find it so frustrating. I don't lash out, but I've tried to have conversations where it's like, hey, what do you see that we could do to better this? This is what I'm interested in having, you know, and where are you at? And I don't know what to do in order to try to better this part of my life.
Do you have court-ordered visitation?
No, I do not.
In other words,
we haven't gone that route. Go ahead.
In other words, you are at the mercy of whether she allows you to see your daughter or not.
Yes.
That's scary, because she could at any time decide you're just simply not worthy of getting to visit with your daughter. How old's your daughter?
She's 19 months.
Okay, so this is just a little one. How was it that you got absolutely no visitation? Were you not married to the child's mother?
That is correct.
Okay. So at this point, you just have to hope she allows your little daughter to be with you some amount of time. That's where you're at, correct?
Yes. My real question is, I sometimes back away because it's so hurtful and so frustrating to deal with the situation.
Okay, wait a minute. For a 19-month-old, I mean, really much of having a 19-month-old is caretaking, it's affection, those kinds of things. You're not really dealing with moral issues, that kind of stuff at this point. So what exactly is it that you are so much at odds about?
I feel that I have responsibilities to my daughter and to her mother. And I also feel that she has responsibilities, as in providing the medium, the opportunity for me to participate in the rearing, the experience of my daughter's life.
Well, there's good news and bad news. The good news is you can do what you can do. The bad news is you probably can't make her do what she doesn't want to do. You can say, gee, I sure wish that she'd be more cooperative and we could be on the same page. And her attitude is, I don't look at things like you do. I'm raising her differently, and it's my kid. Alex, I want you to serve as a warning to other people listening to this show. You're, in a sense, a victim of what happens when you conceive a child out of wedlock and you lose control over some part of that child's upbringing as you split with the relationship. Alex, I'm going to let you go, but I am going to comment on this on the other side of the break. So if you still tune in, you'll hear me offer a few thoughts.
From God, Father John Trigilio shares his experience.
You know, I first felt a vocation when I was about 7 years old, made my first Holy Communion. I remember distinctly kneeling there at the communion railing, waiting for the priest to come by and bring me communion. And that's the first time I entertained the thought of, I could do this. I would like to be able to give communion to people to celebrate Mass. All through Catholic grade school, I kept thinking about it, praying about it. Finally, when I got to eighth grade, I decided I'd go to the high school seminary. I had a cousin who was a priest. He was a very holy man. He was a positive influence. My pastor was a holy man, loved the Blessed Sacrament and Our Lady. And, of course, Father Levis. Those influences just kept me going through the seminary. And most of all, my mom and dad's encouragement, they never forced me to stay in. They always say, if you leave, there's no disgrace, but whatever you decide to do, we'll back you up. That helped me stay in, because where I'm at today, the people I serve in the Diocese of Harrisburg, the work I do with Father Levis on EWTN, that would never have happened. If you would have told me back in 1980 that I'd be doing Faith Matters or Web of Faith, I'd say, you know, go see a doctor because somebody hit you on the head. But the fact that I'm here is a sign that God's providence can't be conquered even by other people's influences.
For information on the priesthood or religious life, log on to www.ewtn.com/religious-life.
Good to have you with me. I promised Alex I would offer him a few comments on his situation. He's got a 19-month-old daughter that is a child from a previous relationship that is no longer together. They were not married. So that adds complications right there. Right now, Alex doesn't have any legal leverage for visitation or even shared custody. Right now, it sounds like mom is the main caretaker, the main parent. Alex has a lot of ideas on how he would like this child to be raised. The problem he's running into is that he wants to convince his ex-partner to think about some of those ideas so that they can both agree on how to raise this little one. Alex, I would probably focus heavily on what she wants you to do, rather than saying, this is what I think is wise, this is what I think is good. Unless she's open-minded, you're going to run into a closed mind. That's kind of a silly way of putting it, isn't it? On the other hand, if you ask her what kinds of things that she thinks would be good for you both to raise this child, one of two things is going to happen. One, she's going to give you some good ideas that you can agree with. And you can make her feel like these are her ideas and she won't be as resistant to you doing it. Two, some of the things she says may be nonsense. You want no part of doing that. You don't have to dispute it. You just don't do it. Obviously, mom doesn't know how you're raising this little one as daddy when she's with you. Mom doesn't have a camera into your home. So you can nod and say, okay, think about that. And then recognize that that's not what you're going to do when your little daughter's with you. So make it seem like it's mom's idea. John from Nebraska. Hypothetical, although we're not sure. Hi, John.
Hello. Hi.
How are you? Good to have your call. Thanks.
Got a question here, kind of like a hypothetical situation here. Just saying, I don't know if this is child abuse or not, but let's say you got two parents, their child has a problem, like a medical problem, you know, and they take the child to the doctor, and the doctor says, well, we can take care of this right now, and it'll be great, no problems, it won't even cost you as much as it would cost later on, you know, take care of all these problems. And the parents are like, no, we're not going to do that. We could afford it, but we'd rather buy furniture, you know, for our house. We'd rather have our house remodeled or something like that, you know.
Is this your child, John?
Is this
your child?
No. This is just a hypothetical situation. Actually, I'll be more real with you. Let's say it's the church. The church wants to get new pews. They want to remodel their church. They want new floors. And somebody sitting in the pews, one of the people who goes to their church, says, hey, I really need some help here. I ain't got that much money. I've got some medical problems here. They clean me out. I'm pretty sure I can pay you back in the future, you know. And the church says, no, we'd rather remodel the church. Is that a form of abuse?
No.
No?
Everybody, now, the earlier question is more murky. But the question about the church not meeting the needs of a person in the pew as opposed to getting a new pew is one that is balanced. Obviously, our churches are nice. Obviously, we spend money on making houses of worship worshipful. Okay. Now, one could say, well, you know, if they didn't do that, if they didn't worry about air conditioning, they could save a lot of money and we could give it all away to the missions. That's true. That is true. Everything's a balance. Everything is not necessarily either or, but both and. So most faithful parishes try to do both, try to help out the people in need, but at the same time, make the worship space worthy of worshiping God. But go back to the kids situation. The law is pretty murky there. It depends, I guess, upon the health risk to the child. It also depends upon what would be available and how easily it could be done and what are the parents' religious reasons. Now, there are certain religious sects that believe that if you think the right way, you won't need to get medical treatment. Now, those have come to the courts many times. And some of the parents were, yes, accused of being abusive for not permitting what would save a child at severe health risk. No question about that. So I think a lot of it's going to come down to each individual situation where the parents' rights clash with the best interests of the child as the state sees it. I don't think there's a one shoe fits all in circumstances like that. From my perspective, if in fact there is a medical treatment, let's say, for example, you know, my son was born with a cleft lip and palate, and we had several surgeries for him. However, what if we'd have said, you know, no, we just think God's going to cure him. God will cure him. God will fix him. He doesn't need surgeries. And we simply allowed all of the complications of that to take place. I suppose we would be risking abuse charges. I do. Somebody could turn us in, and we could be assessed and explored by the Department of Health and Health and Human Services and Department of Job and Family Services. I could see that, right? So I think a lot of it would come down to the individual case. It's something that has been in the courts often. All right. I got to, there's good calls up there, all kinds of great calls up there, but I got to take a break. I'll be back.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Bishop Robert Barron on the priesthood.
I've been a priest for 31 years. It's a call to a total gift to Christ. It's a total gift of one's life to be conformed to Christ. You know, and that's why I felt it when I was a young guy and I was kind of getting into religion and understanding it more deeply intellectually. It just began to hit me with a great clarity that if this is true, if God is real and God is a supreme good, well, why wouldn't I give my whole self to God? Why would I get distracted by anything else, you know? Now, again, I'm not saying that should be true for every single person on the planet. That's the way it hit me when I was a young guy, was I want to give as much as I can my whole self to Christ. So there's something heroic about that, where you do eschew a lot of things. You say no to a lot of things so you can say massively yes to Christ and to his demand. I think that's a heroic quality of it.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
How can we have faith and be transformed by the gospel? What part can we play in recreating the world for God's good plan? Once we understand that the gospel is not merely good news, but explosive, life-changing news, our life will never be the same. In Father John Ricardo's new book, Rescued, The Unexpected and Extraordinary News of the Gospel, he helps us to see the world through the lenses of God, with a clear vision of the plot and the outcome of the story that we're living through. You can get Rescued and Father John's other great books on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
I regret that I have 1 hour to give for my callers. Jane from, is that AK is Alaska, I believe. I think. Arizona's AR. No, is that Arkansas? Jane, where are you from?
Arkansas, yes.
Okay, Arkansas. The easiest way to avoid a near occasion of sin is to not go near. Okay.
Yes.
But I got a feeling that's not the sum total of your question.
Right. What has happened is, you know, there was an occurrence that happened in the recent past that caused or tempted me to what I think is sin in my head. And so now that my husband and I have been invited back into a similar event where there was a woman, a particular woman that was part of the first instance, where she will be present. I know that what is going to happen in my mind in terms of dislike and being uncomfortable. And so I have decided to avoid that event, but which I think is the godly thing to do on one hand, but on the other hand, I'm married and, you know, I do feel guilt that my husband can't go because it is for his brother's birthday. It's a big event. I don't know the best way to handle this situation in a godly way. Just for some background, the woman who, the original occurrence was we were at an event outside and she started to compliment my husband in public, in the group, repeatedly, over and over with some strange things about the way he looked his handsomeness and even his sexiness and weird things like that. And at that time, I just left the situation. Like, I didn't get mad in front of her. I just left.
What does your husband say about this? What does your husband say? Does he say, oh, Jane, you're overreacting. She didn't mean anything by it.
No. He does not at all. He supports me completely. Okay. And we pray together. We strive to be one in our marriage.
I'm going to hurry you along here because we're running out of time.
Go ahead.
Well, part of the problem here is you don't, just because you don't like being around her doesn't mean she's a near occasion of sin. Just because you are wary of her doesn't mean she's a near occasion of sin. The question,
so
I think,
hating her. Oh, go ahead.
Well, yeah, you got to watch that one. That's for sure. The question is, your husband thinks that it would be best if he went to his brother's birthday party and we just try to navigate around her. That's his stance, right?
Yeah, and I get it. They're very, very close.
Okay. So if you can go and just decide to avoid her, stay away from her, and get your husband's commitment to stay away from her too. All right? You don't want to go off the ice cream table while he's sitting back at the chicken table and she's sitting across from him and giggling and googling and everything else she's doing. That would be a problem. On the other hand, if he's cooperative and says, look, honey, I agree with you. That this woman makes me uneasy. I don't like it. Not going to have anything to do with her. Stay by my side. If she starts, we'll leave or I'll say something to her. That's your move.
Okay.
That's your move.
Well,
and you're not
that. I really. Mm-hmm.
And you don't look. You don't have to be around her to hate her. You can hate her from your bathroom. All right. It's all in your head. You can.
Yeah.
On one hand, you can say what she did was incredibly jerky and nasty and seductive and ugly. You could say that, but you don't have to hate her guts.
Right. Right.
Okay.
Right. I just want to love. You know. I want to love when I can, and it's very difficult in that situation to show her love. So,
you don't have to show her love. Just be civil as long as she's civil. If not,
enough.
You and your husband go over to the ice cream table and walk away.
Right.
And as long as he commits to do that, I think you're okay.
I'm happy I called because I'll have a lot less guilt just knowing that. You know, it doesn't have to be so black and white.
No, you don't have guilt just because somebody's obnoxious and you don't want to get pulled back into their obnoxiousness. Heck,
yeah.
If that's the case, Jane, okay, look at it this way. Use this phone call as practice because you called me. I can be obnoxious, but you navigated me. So there you go.
You're right. I got through the call.
Yeah, you got through the call with me. You can get through that situation in that birthday party. Come on.
Very good point. I sure appreciate it, Dr. Ray. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome, honey. Bye.
Okay.
All right, I got to go to Noel quickly because I wanted to do this one with a person who has deep regret because I want to get to that, but Noel e-personed me and I said, "Please call so I can ask some questions." Hi, Noel.
Hello, Dr. Ray.
Now, when he gets homesick when he's out camping, does it pass after a day or two? He's fine and he settles in.
He does, but about day four or five is when it gets a little difficult for him. But
what's he do?
Well, he texts and calls and Mom, Dad, I'm very homesick, and we just try to coach him through it. Say, son, you're doing great. Just keep your girls done. But I tried to sit down with him the other day and go through. Okay. So what is different between this camp out that you're fixing to go on in 2021 versus 2020? And we find out that the first camp out was he had zero of his buddies with him, and they had no activities at night once all the merit badge classes were over. So he wasn't very occupied, and his mind wandered. Mm-hmm. So then I'd sit on.
So it's really not homesickness. It's not really homesickness, no. It's not really homesickness. It's avoidance of a situation.
Oh, okay. Very good. That explains.
So what it is, now here's my question. You decide as a parent, all right, you don't want to go? You don't have to go. I'm not going to make you go to that. You could do that. You say, well, son, I'm not going to fight this. If you're all that agitated about it, this isn't going to church, right? This is an activity. Take it or leave it. If you say, but Dr. Ray, I think it's beneficial for him. Well, yeah, okay, but how beneficial versus how much agitation? That's your decision as a dad. The other thing I would say is talk to the scoutmaster and ask the scoutmaster. He says he's really upset and quote unquote homesick. That's what he calls it. Basically, it's not homesick. It's sick of being here. So if the scoutmaster says, no, he participates. He's involved. He does okay. He has his moments, but for the most part, he takes part in everything. Then what's happening is your son may be exaggerating his distress, but you can only know that by talking to the big people around him. Thanks for joining me here today. Walk with God. Hold his hand tight.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRA.com and follow him on Facebook. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.